Let's have the recordings now begin. Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn, if you can do the roll, please.
Yes, certainly, Paul. We have on the call Mikey O'Connor, Paul Diaz. Mikey O'Connor from Business Constituency, Paul Diaz, Registrar and Leader. Mike Rodenbach, Business Constituency, Sebastian Bachelot from the ALEC, Barbara Steele, Registry, Michael Collins, Business Constituency, and Kevin Erdman, IPC. And from staff, Marika Koenigs, and myself, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Welcome back to our wonderful little project here. We're, I think, very much in the home stretch, and we'll make every effort to actually wrap up our draft today, try and get this out for comments and take it to the next stage. I hope you've all had the opportunity to review the revised draft Marika provided us, posted up to the wiki on the 23rd of December. That's the version that we'll be working off of today. Don't have it in front of you, please pull it up on the wiki as we get underway. What I'd like to do is try to finish going through the report. We got through about 90% of it, 95% of it on our last call, but just want to make sure that we get through, a good full review. We also will need to go over the proposed text for the opening of the public comment period. Marika provided us, and James and Barbara, Sebastian have all commented on already, other thoughts. And, of course, we'll need sort of a final run-through of the draft. But why don't we just immediately start with the sections that we didn't get through on our previous call before the holidays. So if my notes are correct, we were looking at section... Well, let's just go out to page, I guess it's 24. This is how folks remembered as well. I believe we were up to line 571. This is text that had been inserted. We simply didn't have enough time on our last call to get to it. If I've glossed over anything, please somebody remind me, but I think that's as far as we got last time. Okay, so... beginning with line 571 then, does anybody have concerns or problems with the text that we've suggested here? Okay. I think the partial bulk transfer stuff, you know, we've given a lot of very good debate in previous calls.
I have just one question, Sebastian. On I guess it's next page. It's line 586. Mm-hmm. It says a registrant decides to his or domain name portfolio to a new registrar, but not all. Why we add but not all? I understand for a registrar, but for a registrant, why he couldn't transfer all? It will be seen as a bulk, partial bulk transfer for a registrar, but for himself, he could decide to have his portfolio change. And I don't see why we need to put that but not all.
I believe, Sebastian, it might be a condition of the way we phrased it, but you're thinking that it would be the registrant's choice to not move it is a scenario that we have in mind. It's not that he or she is being restricted from doing so. It is a conscious choice on the part of the portfolio holder.
I think Sebastian's point, though, which I agree with, is that the registrar may well want to move all of their domains.
And all up here, I think basically whether it's all or not is not really material. It would still be partial bulk transfer from a registrar perspective. And
yeah.
I also think there is a typo here because we're lacking a verb to transfer his her domain name.
Okay, good catch there. As we originally crafted these scenarios, team Are we overlooking something? Was there a particular thought that we were trying to capture in the scenario four?
My question is why we need to say but not all. That means that if a registrant decides to move all, it's not included in this. And I don't understand why, because it's not for registrants. It will be it could be all and not all, but I don't know why it couldn't be all also.
Mikey here.
Hey, Mikey.
I wish James was on the call. James and I were.
James is here.
James.
Oh, James is here. Oh, good. I
think I see the issue with that Sebastian is raising is that if a registrant decides to move all of the domains within their portfolio, it still only represents a partial transfer from the perspective of the registrar.
Yeah, I think that's
exactly.
So why is that qualifier present in that description? And I don't remember how that those three words were inserted.
Yeah, I was hoping you would remember. I was thinking that came out of the conversation that you and I had. That maybe it got a little garbled, but I would agree that probably we could drop the but not all and still retain the...
Yes, I would agree that we can probably remove the phrase but not all.
Well, this is Kevin. I think that was added in from the perspective of a large portfolio holder that might sell a portion of its business and therefore have a portion of its portfolio that it wants to move. And that was what I think that language was specifically intended to address.
Or is that scenario three, Kevin? No, I guess you're right.
Olaf here, and I think that's probably the typical case when, for example, a registrant sells part of his business to somebody else, including the related domain names, but not everything. He sells his full portfolio. Like a change of, well, a full takeover and a change of identity of the registrant. But so that may have been a reasoning. I'm just thinking aloud here.
Mikey here.
Sure, Mikey.
What about if we said a registrant decides to transfer all or a portion of his or her domain portfolio to a new registrant, to a new registrar. So we cover both possibilities. Rather than, and I think the key issue that Sebastian raises is we don't want to exclude the possibility of all. We want to allow the registrant the option of either all of their portfolio or a portion of their portfolio.
This is Barbara.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I guess from my perspective, regardless, unless the registrar is handling only domain names for one registrant portfolio holder, I would think that it still would be a partial transfer of not all of the domain names under the registrar's management. So I'm not really sure if I understand completely why we wouldn't want to include, but not all, in this particular perspective, since in the first sentence of that particular item, you know, scenario three, it does indicate a merger or acquisition between registrars, or the partial transfer in the case of a merger or acquisition.
Barbara, I think this is Mikey, this is a different scenario. This is scenario four rather than...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Sure, but to your point, and following what Mikey said, how does everybody feel with changing the text to read, a registrant decides to transfer all or a portion of his or her domain name portfolio to a new registrar? e.g. as a consequence of a merger or acquisition.
I agree with that.
That's good, Sebastian. Everybody
yeah.
else?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. Good. Yeah, okay. You got that one, Marika?
Yep, I did.
Okay. All right, so anything else in this section spelling out the scenarios? Five looks good. Scenario five. All right, then we just have, and these are in quotation, so I'm going to assume that it was accurately copied. You know, we have the actual provisions of the transfer policy being presented. You drop down now to line 608. Is everybody comfortable with the new text that we've inserted here, their sort of findings and thinking of the group?
Hey, it's okay.
Mikey here. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
So was that good through the end of the section, or how about line 617, our preliminary conclusion?
We already discussed this preliminary, discussed the decision, conclusion in the business summary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is fine. This is Mikey.
Okay. All right, then. Looking ahead to Section 6, you know, we've added initial everywhere, constantly trying to reinforce that we're seeking, looking for additional inputs to help our thinking. 647 through 649, we had some new text, more clarifications. Anybody have any trouble with that? Okay. See, jump out to 662. Of course, we are noting that business constituency also provided formal comment.
Yeah, I have just one question, I guess. As we add the business constituency, we need to change 3 to 4 at the beginning of the paragraph where we say the 3 comments responding to the question outline. Now we have 4 comments.
Good.
Yeah. Good catch, Sebastian.
It doesn't work. I probably need to rewrite it in a little bit because I think the comments relate to... the ones that were submitted in the public comment period, but I'll rewrite it so it's clear that there were 4 comments received in total.
Yeah, all right. And it's probably fair to make that distinction. I mean, the BC is a very valuable input, but it did come in after the deadline. And that might also serve as a signal as we open up the next round for comments, whatever deadline we set as a group, you know, those of us, when we go back to our constituencies, let's push them. To try and meet that deadline. I think as we look at the calendar, and we'll discuss this more at the end of the call, it's tight, but it's possible we might be able to wrap this all up, have the report ready for council by the Mexico City meeting. But if there's any chance of really doing that, it's going to require all inputs being received by whatever the deadline is, that we as a group can incorporate all that into the final report. Okay, I mean, for the remainder of this section, it's, you know, there was no new text. Was there anything that anybody in reviewing it might have felt uncomfortable about or wants to see any change? Okay, section 7 is, you know, just what you would expect for the initial report that we are, and what you can see there, line 766.
Just a formatting question, Paul. Should I read conclusions, or should it just be the title, next step? We're not offering.
Yeah, what does everybody think? That's a good point. A good
and we could say the working group aims to offer conclusions what's the second phase of the PDP, following the second public comment period, etc.
How does everybody feel about
not,
that?
Not a critical change by any means.
I'm just trying to remember what's typically done in other with other working groups when they're providing the initial report. How do they frame this section? Because it would appear in anybody's work. Do they talk about completing a section? They talk about working towards providing conclusions or recommendations.
This is all off here. I think this follows a bit of a traditional pattern that we usually come up with conclusion and next steps. And as a heading, it doesn't hurt as long as we describe what we intend to do and say that this is to be completed later. But so it's rather this heading is more indicating an intention at this point in time when we have this draft initial report.
Okay.
So I would suggest we keep it as a heading as is.
No, that's fair. If we're working from a formula, then let's leave it alone.
A little bit like that.
Okay. Everybody else comfortable with that?
Yep.
Great. All right, then let's leave it as we have it. Just scanning through the remainder, I mean, since this is just cut and pasting, some minor formatting or numbering. Right, just scanning through. Yeah, okay. So, we've now gone through our first review of the draft. Your question, how would the group like to proceed? Do you have people, are you comfortable with the text that's in front of you now? Would you like to, as a group, go back through, you know, from the top, do a quick scan through, make sure that conclusions, text, whatever we have in here is acceptable, or is everybody comfortable with what we have? And, of course, the changes that we've just discussed on this call will be made before the report is posted. Not all of us were on the call last time. I just want to make sure that folks are comfortable with what's here. Give everybody an opportunity to make any changes that feel still necessary. Let's do this. We'll give everybody time on the remainder of the call to kind of pick through this on the side. If there are additional things, we can come back to it. What I'd like to do is just make sure that we're all comfortable with the proposed text for opening the public comment period. This is the text Marika provided us, and a number of you have already commented on the list.
So on that, it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I've got a question on the process here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we also putting this out for constituency statements at the same time?
Yes, that's correct, Mike.
Okay. So should we mention that somewhere as well so that there's not confusion about that?
Okay. How, Marika, Olaf, or others, when we open the public comment period, it's traditionally understood that that is an invitation to the broader ICANN community and the constituencies as well, correct?
Yes. Well, the constituencies are free to respond to that on public comment as public. They like to. Some do. Traditionally.
But Olaf, don't we usually also specifically ask the constituencies for a constituency statement?
Yes, we do, but that's usually done by direct request to the constituencies.
I see. Okay.
You need to do that as well.
All right. Basically, we'll just tweak this text a little bit and send notes to each of the constituencies.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I was thinking of doing it, Mike, that, you know, we could just change it. And you for BC, me for the registrars, you know, others as our various constituencies. We just make sure that our colleagues are aware that the comments are being solicited and that, you know, it's time for the constituencies to consider and hopefully submit their own statements. Okay, so with that,
I would suggest that we do send it in some appropriate manner to the constituency, to the constituencies. Well, in their official capacity, so sending it to the secretary of the constituency, of the constituency.
Okay. And as a point of process, is that something that typically I would do as chair, or that you guys would do as staff? How does what's the best way to work that?
I think that it's frequently done by staff.
Okay.
Glenn, can you recall how we usually do that? Isn't that something we usually do from the staff side?
Yes, that is. It's usually a notice that I send out.
Okay. Well, then let's go through the announcement that Marika's drafted. Others have had some suggestions for changes. And then, you know, keep in mind, of course, Glenn or whomever, you know, that you can just tweak, lift from this language that we'll agree upon and use that for the announcement for the constituencies. All right, so with that, if you all have that email available, most everybody was very comfortable with the text. James had requested an addition when we were discussing issue one.
This is Michael. I support James's suggestion.
You like that as well, Michael? Okay. So a change that we'll need to make then is on issue one. It's a way for registrars to make registrar and email address data available to one another. And then we're going to add to facilitate transfers.
This is Mikey. I'm okay with that.
in fact, the proposed addition was after the following sentence.
The following sentence. Pardon me. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Yeah. The working group noted that WHOIS was not designed to support many of the ways in which it is currently used to facilitate transfers.
Everybody's comfortable with that. Trying to keep the focus on what we're here for, transfer policy, not open it up to anything about WHOIS.
That's a great...
Mr. Marika, should we then make the same change as well in the initial report, where we have the same sentence?
Yes.
Sure.
This is Mikey. I think that's a good idea. Because this is cut and paste right out of the report, so we should change the report as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't find it in front of me right now, Marika, but wherever that is, please, let's make it consistent.
Yeah, it's line 90.
It's exactly somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah, 90, 91.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other changes, additions, deletions?
Mikey, I have a very minor change.
Sure, Mikey.
In the announcement, if you go to the paragraph just before the bolded issue one, one of the things that I missed the first time I read it was the bulk of that paragraph. So what if we put a carriage return? What if we made the first sentence its own paragraph and then started a new paragraph with "it should be noted that the working group will not make a final decision"? Just to highlight that point, because the first time I read it, I was reading it fast, and I did the thing that I usually do when I'm reading fast. I just read the first sentence in the paragraph.
Sure.
And so I missed that point, and I think it might help to amplify it a little bit just by making it a paragraph by itself.
Mm-hmm. Everybody good with that? Seems to echo the point we've been trying to make throughout the report, that we're no final decision has been made. We're seeking additional inputs.
That's fine.
Okay. Sure. Then let's add that. Anything else?
This is Mark. You maybe want to even bold it. or somehow other way highlight it.
Yeah,
the concern is that people are going to miss it instead of just making it a separate.
Yeah, I think
paragraph.
You know, amplifying that within reasonable limits is a good idea. We really want to make it clear to people that we're looking for their input.
Okay, so we'll make it.
How about underlining it? Would that work?
Sure. Whatever looks good in the email is fine with me. But I agree with Mark that to the extent that we can make that sort of leap out at people, that would be a great thing.
Yeah, at a minimum, put in make it a separate paragraph. I'm just thinking when email sometimes if I receive it, for instance, on a list, if you do not use HTML, you won't see things like bolding and underlining. So
yeah,
we can do everything we can, but at a minimum, let's put it in a separate paragraph so it'll stand out and hopefully really catch the eye of folks reading. And I guess, this is Mark, I suppose we could put it in caps.
Yeah, that was the other thought, yeah. It could be
readable
in caps, although you know, a lot of people always complain, hey, stop shouting at me, and that would be a fair amount of text to have all in caps.
Well, what if we started it off in caps, something like, please note, and then a colon, and then everything else in lowercase or bolded or something.
I like that idea.
How's that work? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I think that it might yield more productive responses to us, maybe less hostile responses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true that the technical folks very often don't do HTML email and won't see the formatting at all.
Yeah. Okay. So if we'll do that, Marika, if you can make it a new paragraph, add in all caps, please no colon, and then we're good to go with the remaining text. Any other thoughts?
Looks good here, Mikey.
Okay. Then the question to the group is the length of time, the time frame that the periods will be open, what the deadline should be.
6 months?
According to the rules, it's, a minimum of 20 days? Is that correct, Olaf, Marika?
Actually, it is 20 days.
20?
Yeah, well, that's sort of not stated as a minimum or a maximum, but it's if you go by the bylaws, well, it says for 20 days. We have, at times, used longer periods, but if you want to go by the book, it's 20 days, full stop.
All right.
Yeah, well...
I don't see any real reason to make it longer here. Does anybody else?
This is Mike.
No.
I'm thinking that longer might be better in this case because there is enough going on in here that people might need some time to think about it, talk to people, and so on. So I would be okay with going longer. I'm not feeling real strongly about that.
Okay, folks can look at a calendar.
I mean, I'm generally okay with it too, Mikey. I just don't necessarily, given that this is what, number one in five. Six parts on this?
Yeah, I share the same concern, Mike. I would like to try and, especially it seems that, you know, the positions are known. I'll assume that it's unlikely that any of the constituencies are dramatically going to change their views in the next round. Let's get this written up and to the council so that we can, do our job and then start thinking about EDPs B, C, D, and E. Okay, so if we look at the calendar, today's the 6th. I mean, let's assume that everything could be cleaned up and posted by staff, at the end of the week is the best case scenario. Please weigh in, Marika, Olaf, all this. Let me know if this is totally unrealistic.
No, I think that's realistic.
All right. That being the case, then what sounds good? Have the period open through 20 days from the 9th? Should we round off and say the 30th maybe? That gives 3 full working weeks. But I'm open for this one, folks. What do you all think? Is that fair? We'll run it through the end of January.
Mark, I think that should be fine, especially since, as you noted, I mean, the positions aren't going to change. They're already known.
This is Mike Migri.
Okay. Then why don't we shoot for that then, Marika? Hope to have this posted and open the comment period beginning on Friday the 9th. And then the deadline for comments and submissions will be the 30th of January.
I aim to post then the final version of the initial report later today on the wiki, so people can still have a look probably in the course of tomorrow before I send it off then to our posting people, so people can spot some last minute things that they still edit or things like that.
Sure.
That's okay.
And we're doing well with time, so we can use that time now to go back through and make sure that folks are comfortable with what we have.
I still think it's a great idea, Marika, to post a cleaned up version people can look at, but let's do that. But okay, so everybody's happy with the time frames. We'll be shooting to open it on the 9th, close it on the 30th. And then if we stick to our, I just finished rereading Tuesdays with Maury, if we stick with our Tuesday meeting schedules, that flows nicely because we'd have a couple days to, if we haven't monitored the list already, review the comments that are made and then pick it up on the 3rd of February as a group. Okay. All right, we'll do that. And as I've just said then, rather than going through section by section, I just kind of leave it open to the group. Are there any changes that have been made or ways that we phrase things in the draft that you have in front of you now, things that you'd want to see changed, or is everybody comfortable with this initial report as it stands?
This is Mikey.
Comfortable.
Sure, Mikey.
I'm thinking we should reopen the Who Is issue. Just kidding.
We're going to cut you off, Mikey.
You have a macabre sense of humor, Mikey.
Yeah. Okay, I know it's kind of weird putting folks on the spot like that. I was hoping that if maybe you had gone through the report previously, something may have stood out. I have one for the group. If we just clarification, please. If we go out to line 433 on page 19. Line 433 reads, registrant emails collected and maintained by all registrars and submitted to all FIC registries. A check of GTLD Who Is data shows that registrant email is also displayed for all FIC registries. No problem. 436 then says thin registries do not maintain any registrant information. Okay. My question is in 437. It should be noted that FIC registries are not obliged to include the registrant address in Who Is data. So requiring all thin registries to become FIC would not change anything for the particular issue at hand unless the inclusion of registrant email address would be mandated. My question is 437, that first part, FIC registries are not obliged, is that really an accurate statement? And in particular, since we've just said in 433 that information is collected by registrars, submitted to FIC registries, and displayed, it might be a semantic issue. They may not be obliged to display it, but in fact, it is there. Is there an inconsistency? Or am I just misreading this somehow?
I do not believe they're obliged to, is my understanding. So I think that part is accurate. This is Michael.
Sure, Michael. Okay, so it's an accurate statement as we have it. Even though the registrars collect it, they submit it to their FIC registries, and those FIC registries displayed in their Who Is output.
Can you read that part again?
433, it begins, registrant emails collected and maintained by all registrars and submitted to all FIC registries. A check of GTLD Who Is data shows that the registrant email is also displayed for all FIC registries.
I wasn't aware of that, but if it's accurate, it's not contradictory, I suppose.
This is Marika. If I recall well as well, Anita, it's like that, that basically it's not obliged, but in practice, all of them do show the registrant email data. So, Anita, there's no contradiction, but in practice, they all do.
This is Barbara. I am not certain if it's obliged or not. I can say that it seems like the conversations that I had with the other registry constituency members was that, you know, they do all provide it, and I thought that some of them had indicated that it was provided as a required field in their WHOIS spec, but I can't say that with 100% certainty.
Okay. No problem, though, but for the sake of our initial report and running down this extra detail, I don't think it's really a deal-breaker.
Well, yeah, and I was just working from my recollections of the conversations that we've had. I'm not an expert either, so I didn't mean to suggest that.
Yeah.
This is Mikey.
Sure, Mikey.
So maybe what we do is we take an action item to run that one down while the initial report is out. It would be nice to have that a little bit clearer.
And that might be worth, yeah, a good point, Mikey, while the report's out. Honestly, since this is the initial report, if it turns out that's a factual error in some way, I don't have a problem with it because it's initial. You know, it can be fixed up later on. And maybe that will be clarified for us by registry constituency if they submit another constituency statement. Just take that as sort of an action item.
Yeah, I think to make we sure might want to actively research that rather than leaving it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll query the registry's constituency on it as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Thanks, Barbara.
Sure, Barbara. And again, it doesn't need to be done in the next 24 hours.
Sure.
You know, we all seem to think that this is good as it is. Let's just make sure for our final draft that we are as accurate as possible. Okay, so is there any other text in the body of the report that folks are... have questions about or uncomfortable with? Okay, then per Marika's offer, she will clean up the draft, post a final version to our wiki. Everybody will have, say another 24 hours or so. If other thoughts come into mind, please bring it up on the list. Ask everybody to keep an eye on the list so that, we can respond if necessary. Assuming that there are no issues then, the goal is to have the report posted and the public comment period opened this Friday, the 9th, with it running through the 30th. And staff will also communicate that the comment period is open to the constituencies, seeking their statements. And of course, we should all take it back to our constituencies, and in fact, we're the ones that will probably draft up any sort of response that is submitted by the deadline, by the 30th. Any other questions or issues?
As a note, I just checked the registry accreditation agreement, at least for .com, and the registry is not obligated to display registrant email address.
Yeah, and Mark, that's a thin registry model. So
yeah,
thick one says that are the focus here.
So
we know the thin does not have the
right
requirement.
Right.
Good. Okay. Well, fantastic. First meeting of the year, super productive, and we're finishing ahead of time. So with that, again, take a final look at the draft. It'll be posted up on the wiki. Any comments, please raise them on the list. And we will get the public comment period underway. And if everybody's of the same mind as I don't think we have a need for our Tuesday meetings until probably that first Tuesday in February. Once the comment period is closed, we can take on board whatever inputs have been provided, and then we can start the process of crafting the final report for council. Does anybody think differently? Do you think we need a meeting in between somewhere?
This is Mikey. I'm biting my tongue.
Okay, great. Then, let's do that. We will...
So we set the meeting for February 3rd, then, or February 10th?
Why don't we start with the 3rd? Right? I mean, is everybody in agreement? If this is as straightforward as we expect in terms of the positions that are expressed, I just as soon try and work through and pull together the final report as quickly as possible. Begin with a goal, ideally, of having the report ready for council by Mexico City. Does the third not work for you, Mike? Is that what you're asking?
No. Okay. Just wanted to get it on my calendar.
Yeah. And, of course, as we get closer to it, we'll ask Glenn to send a reminder to everyone. But at this point, let's have that as our goal. We'll reconvene the same time on Tuesday, the 3rd of February. And obviously, if any issues come up, use the list or reach out directly to myself or Marika. And with that, I say thank you, everyone, for your time. And at the very least, we'll be talking again in just about a month.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Everybody, take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Marika?